There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission, and it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I think that it's important for all of us to, while we should look at what Michael Jordan did and even how he did it with some amazement, it's incumbent upon us to figure out the things that we can or shouldn't add to our own thing. We need to be careful about what things that we take from him and adopt, because you can't pull that stuff off unless you're the greatest. I saw a lot of people making comparisons to Jimmy Butler, and to those people making comparisons to Jimmy Butler, I tell you, stop, because Jimmy ain't won nothing. So he can do his tough love, I'm the only one who gets it type stuff. What ends up happening to Jimmy all the time? Jimmy gets traded. Like, Jimmy to me is an example of someone who took all the wrong things from Jordan and applied them.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
It's the truth. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. We got a fun show today, filled with a lot of different stuff. We're going to check in with our buddy Sierra Santos at 1240. One, because she's great. Two, because you're like, wait, where did Sierra go? And I'll explain to you why she's in Phoenix. And three, because she covered a sporting event yesterday. And then went out in the streets, because they apparently opened up Scottsdale yesterday. So I'm going to talk to her about that and golf being back and covering golf and all sorts of stuff at 1240. James Feegan, our buddy from The Athletic, is going to join me at 1 o'clock. I want to talk to him about baseball and where things stand with baseball trying to figure out if and when it can come back. But that's kind of also where I want to start, too. So I want to talk with you about some of this. If you would like to jump in, you can always text us. The text zone to dial it is 67011. And it's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. So all you got to do is, if you got a Hyundai, you live out that way, you need to get a service, rosenhyundai.com. They can hook you all the way up You can also call us at 312-644-6767. Here's what I wanted to get into with you today. It's the idea of there's two things going on here, and they're connected, but I don't know if the connection has necessarily been made. Baseball is trying to figure out a way to get itself back. And you've heard me complain on these airwaves for the last 6 weeks, talking about how I'm really annoyed with some of the cockamamie plans that baseball has thrown out, because a lot of them didn't have any chance of working. And while they were leaking all of this stuff to Bob Nightingale, it seems as if they weren't working on one of their primary problems. And one of the primary problems is trying to figure out how this is going to work financially. If you were reading Ken Rosenthal's piece or watching Tim Kirkchin or anyone else talk about it on ESPN over the last day, baseball has a significant problem with how it's going to figure out revenue and revenue sharing with this upcoming season. And I know what you're thinking. Lawrence, I don't care. I just want them to play baseball. I understand that sentiment. But I will tell you that these are the ways that allow for companies, for ownership to get away with stuff. And what you're going to witness, if this continues on the trajectory that it's been on, what you're going to witness is the thing that you desperately don't want. And that is there being labor strife between owners and players. And that labor strife keeping the game farther and farther away. So you could tell me about your plan to have everyone in Arizona. You can tell me about your plan about having everyone just face their division and the opposite division from the other league. But until you get an actual agreement in place with the players on how the revenue is going to be split and how those players are going to be paid, then none of it really, really matters. So let me go back to something that you're probably in your head right now going, well, these guys get paid millions of dollars, and we often don't talk about the billions of dollars that the owners are getting paid. And you're right. They do get paid a lot of money, millions of dollars. A minimum salary for a Major League Baseball player would make any of us happy for a really long time in our regular lives. But when you hear the owners talking about their 50-50 revenue split that they're throwing out there for players, understand that the players already took the pay cut. So the thing that the owners are trying to do now, at least according to the players, is they're trying to institute a salary cap inside of the 2020 season. This again, through the reporting of Ken Rosenthal. And the owners say this is a one-time thing. We're only doing this because of 2020 and the pandemic. And we have all these things that we need to work through. So this would be a one-time thing. And the players are like, look, we agreed that because of the pandemic, we were going to go to a per-game pro rating. So if you take a player's salary and divide it by 162, what the players are saying is we want our salaries on whatever the schedule ends up being. If that's 82 games, if that's 70 games, if that's 50 games, their per-game rate stays, and they're all right foregoing the rest of their money that they will not be able to earn because there won't be enough games. That's a pretty big give already by the players. It's a pretty big give. And it's frustrating because what you haven't heard from baseball, while you continue to hear them like, oh, we got a plan, and people are going to play in their home ballpark, It's like they're not paying attention to some of this stuff. Some of the places that they're intending to go back to have been used as areas where food banks are operating out of. And that's before we even get to, is it going to be safe for the players? Sean Doolittle talked a lot about this in a tweet thread yesterday. And I think that he asked some really important questions about whether or not baseball is prepared to start coming back. You heard me yesterday on the show. I was talking with my buddy Dave Ross, and we were talking about UFC and UFC 249. I don't like what the UFC has done. I don't like how this sprint to be first, because I think that it allows for a lot of mistakes to be made. That being said, at least there seemed to be some sort of protocol that was possible. I don't think that they adhered to it nearly enough or nearly as well as they should have, including in-ring interviews, which made absolutely no sense to do. But at least there was a protocol that the desperate fighters of the UFC could go, well, okay, it kind of feels safe. I guess we'll go in there and fight, and we'll keep getting tested, and hopefully no one has coronavirus, although three people did have coronavirus, and we'll see how that ends up playing out with the fighters and the people, the service staff, the people at the hotel, the camera people, all of that stuff over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully no one else gets infected. And hopefully the people that were infected are have a speedy recovery. Baseball has some logistical issues that it has got to get through, but it also has some financial issues that it's got to get through. And they're fighting a war on two fronts when it comes to having the game return. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Yesterday on the show, Matt Spiegel and I had a really great conversation about baseball and where baseball stands. We talked about baseball and their financial issues. Take a listen to what Spiegs had to say about some of the big problems that are in front of MLB if they want to get back on the field.
Yesterday, Lawrence, you heard from Chris Iannetta and Andrew Miller, two representatives, Yankees and Cardinals respectively, who talked about the financials a little bit. Andrew Miller said, look, we don't get more based on revenue. That's not how our sport works. And so he's acknowledging that they do not, unlike other sports, have an on-the-books revenue sharing, you know? And so now the owners are kind of throwing this out there, throwing that out there. And if I'm the players, I would want some on-the-books revenue sharing if I'm getting open books. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the basis for all the mistrust between the sides for all these years is in large part due to the fact that owners don't open their books. They don't show what's going on. So they're just, so how it works is, like, the players are given some financial information by Rob Manfred and the owners, and they're just supposed to accept it. They can challenge it if they want, but they're supposed to accept that's the reality. Meanwhile, there's details that aren't in there. And this has been an interesting moment. Without games to focus on, I've ended up learning so much of this garbage that I would love to not worry about, Lawrence, but there's no games. So here we are learning. Like, details of the TV deals are not out there at all for the players. Players don't know how much money that the teams are making that from their television deals. The players get none of the postseason revenue other than their playoff shares that go to the players. They don't get the postseason revenue. And that is a big, big thing that's going to possibly be on the table in these conversations. So, long answer, but to get back to the specifics of what I would ask for the players, open your books, show me what you got, and then maybe we'll agree to a specific number for revenue. Owners will probably never do that. The other thing that I would ask for is get the postseason revenue mixed in there. Okay, you're going to ask us to take a little bit less? We'll take a little bit less, but we also want the postseason revenue in there. And by the way, let's have that in the next CBA that we're going to do next year, right? You can ask for something as you're making a concession and hopefully get that thing you're asking for in the next deal, which would mean 5 years, five theoretical full seasons of full money. So complicated, but a lot of stuff on the table that the owners are going to have to consider if they truly want to get games in.
That was Speaks yesterday, and it was great content. I appreciate him coming on and talking baseball with me. You can check him out on Inside the Clubhouse, and you can check him out on Hit and Run weekends here on The Score. Think about this. Think about someone said, hey, I'm going to make a 50-50 split with you. Oh, yeah? On what? Well, I can't tell you the exact number, but I can tell you that you're going to get half. When we talk about the revenue that is generated by Major League Baseball teams, we are guessing to a large degree. Even some of the best reporting on it is still guessing, and the Players Association is guessing when it comes to revenue. We kind of believe that they're worth $10 billion a season over the last few seasons, that that's the revenue that's being generated. But we don't know that for sure. And each one of these franchises has their own television deal. And depending on what type of market you're in, and depending on what type of thirst there is for your product on television, these are things that players don't get to see. So you could understand how if you're a Major League Baseball player and the owners come to you and they say, we're going to split the revenue this season. We were thinking that we'd split it 50-50 when you guys come back. Okay, well, what is that number? What's the number? Because there aren't going to be any fans, and we know that that's a big part of local revenue for each team. So what's the number that we're going to get from the local television and the national television broadcast and the expanded playoff? Well, we can't tell you that. Well, I mean, you could tell us that, but you're not going to tell us that. So why, as a player, would I then agree to 50-50 split? It's 50-50 split of a question mark. And until they come with some concrete numbers, I don't know how the players could just say, yeah, but it sounds great. Like, in theory, the idea of you and I enter into a venture and we say of the money that we generate, we're going to split it 50-50 sounds fair. But if I go, well, I'm going to collect all the money and I'll pay you out your share, you would go, what? Why can't we count the money together? And you'd be right to ask that question. Why can't we count the money together? And then we can decide, okay, well, great. This, here's the percentage. Here's the 50-50 split. We have $100 million that we made. Awesome. Now we can pay all of the players $50 million out of that $100 million. All of that is before we get to how are you going to keep everyone safe? How does the business of baseball even work in the different ballparks with the different scenarios? It's weird because we kept hearing, oh, okay, well, baseball's starting to get closer and closer, and I don't know if they've ever been farther away because of some of these issues. There's some – Herbie, should we even play the Charlie Blackman? Because the Charlie Blackman – It's exactly what you would think Charlie Blackman would say. I mean, I hate the stereotype, but it seems like exactly what Charlie Blackman would say about coming back to play. But I think that he's in the minority, because if you listen to a lot of players, they're like, where's your plan? Can we just have a plan? And then we can work together as players and ownership to figure out if that plan makes sense. Because the idea of I'm not going to see my family for 4 months doesn't seem like a great plan.
When you're talking about quarantine, what about some of your colleagues who have wives and children and things like that, Charlie? I mean, is that a problem about quarantining and staying away from family members for weeks, months at a time?
Yeah, that is a big problem. But, you know, I kind of fall on the line of, you know, this is what I've chosen to do, and this is my life's work, and this is really important, and it's also probably why I'm pretty good at it so far. You know, it's what I want to do, and there's a lot of sacrifices I've made, and I'm willing to make some more sacrifices to play the game in terms of my life away from the field.
Okay. I think that there's an amount of sacrifice that everyone involved in all of this is going to have to make, and I don't think that he speaks for the rank and file of MLB, but maybe he does. Maybe there are more guys out there like him.
He said I want to do, not
yeah
what
we
the collective want to do.
But that's fair. I mean, I he can only speak for himself, right? Like, there's nothing. I don't have a problem with that. That he'd be willing, but of course, like Charlie Blackman, like he's in a tree blind. Of course, he's going to be like, yeah, let's go ahead and let's play ball. Where I think that there are other guys that are going, I don't think that I'm ready for that. So when I initially heard, well, baseball's thinking July 4th weekend to kind of get started, it's like, oh, that feels far off. But now I'm like, can they get something done and have it figured out for August? And then it's how do you make it work? I've come to the conclusion, and if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, as much as I love baseball, and I do, I think that the regular season of baseball is the truest test of which team is the best team. The playoffs are a crapshoot because they're very random and the sample size is super small. But if your